It's the happy hour, the final hour here on the Guy Benson Show on this Thursday. Thank you very much for joining. I'm Guy Benson in D.C. GuyBensonShow.com is our website. Joining me now is Greg Walden. He's a congressman representing the people of Oregon's 2nd Congressional District. Congressman, it's good to have you back.
Guy, it's good to be with you.
I want to start with news of the day and everything that we're seeing, of course, up on Capitol Hill and all over the media. It is impeachment fever. You've got this whistleblower. The whistleblower complaint, the transcript, Ukraine, it really is a lot of swirling information. You've been watching it. You've been following it. You recognize that your colleagues across the aisle have moved forward, at least in some way, toward an impeachment process. That happened earlier in the week. How are you thinking? How are you feeling about all of this? What is your assessment at this point?
Well, I'll tell you two things. One, there were those who had already called out and decided the president needed to be impeached before the transcript was released. The whistleblower complaint was filed. I mean, the Democrats have been after Trump since before the inauguration. Let's start there. Second, if you're going to remove a sitting president, you better darn well have a big reason to do it. Treason, bribery. I mean, the major crimes, misdemeanors, as they say. And I don't think it rises to that. Not his finest minute, not his finest hour, not something he probably should have done necessarily, but also two world leaders talking about things. Remember, this president ran on an anti-corruption, the president of Ukraine, ran on an anti-corruption campaign to clean up the bad behaviors of the past. And I think in some context, that's part of what our president was saying. Have you looked into this one? And what I would love to know, since President Trump was willing to release the transcripts of his conversation with the Ukrainian president, is Joe Biden willing to do the same thing about his conversations with the Ukrainians when it involved getting rid of the prosecutor that was going after his son? Wouldn't that be interesting to read?
Congressman, I agree with the point that you made about many of the Democrats being way ahead of the curve on impeachment for a very long time. They've been wanting to throw Trump out of office or at least delegitimize him since he got elected and shocked them all. And look no further. More than half of the House Democratic caucus was in favor of impeachment before any of this Ukraine stuff even boiled to the surface. Right. They were convinced about tweets and Mueller stuff was impeachable. And, I totally disagreed with that. So there's a judgment question on their part. There's a credibility question on their part. But there are some who said no, no, no all along. This doesn't rise to that level, who now see this transcript and the allegations from the whistleblower. And they say, OK, no, this is now much more serious. I'm not sure this is worthy of uprooting a duly elected president and kicking him out of office. But I do think it's serious. And I think it goes farther than just not his finest moment. I just do have an issue with any sitting president phoning up a foreign leader and asking him specifically to have that government investigate a domestic political rival. It just feels like, and especially deputizing his personal lawyer who's over there and involved with this as well, it feels like someone using the power of the office and the levers of American foreign policy to benefit himself explicitly and politically. I don't know. That strikes me as problematic beyond just sort of like, maybe he shouldn't have done that. It seems like more to me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he shouldn't have done that is where I stop. And I think looking at what I know now, and I don't know all the facts. I've certainly read the transcript. I've read the IG's report. We were in the middle of a subcommittee markup on a bunch of really important pieces of legislation while the DNI was testifying, but I tried to keep track of it. Let's get to the facts first. And if you're going to do an impeachment investigation, then you got to do more than just proclaim it as Speaker of the House, as Nancy Pelosi did. There is a formal process you set in place that involves a vote in the House. They're not doing that. Why aren't they doing that? Because it's still about politics. And their base is so spun up and was so deflated after the Mueller report, and they promised it was going to do all these things, and it didn't. They were so spun up that now anything short of impeaching the president is a political failure on their part. And that's why I think you see more and more Democrats going, okay, I can't hold this back. I mean, I know of one who said, I'm the last one in my delegation. I had to come out for it. How could I not? It's like that's a thoughtful approach to something as significant and consequential as impeachment. By the way, I sit here as a sitting member of Congress representing three-quarters of a million people in Oregon think, if I'm actually going to go through an impeachment proceeding, I'm going to treat this as if I'm a juror, if you will, and actually wait to hear all the conclusions and the facts before I render a decision. I may end up having to vote on quote-unquote articles of impeachment. So I think there's also an obligation to have an initial impression. There's another to restrain a little here and not predetermine the entire outcome before you've even seen all of the evidence or heard the other side of the story. And
yeah, I saw.
I think we got to be careful about this. This is serious business. If you're going to overturn the will of the American people, and by the way, you've got another election coming in about a year.
That's right.
So how's all this going to play out? And do you really think the Senate's going to vote 2/3 to remove the president? I don't.
I certainly don't, based on the available information. And I agree with you that this should be done in a manner that is thoughtful, right,
yep.
and deliberative.
Exactly.
And I see these articles about how Democrats, some of them are saying we need to railroad it through right now because the iron is hot, so let's do it while the media attention is all here. And another saying, no, let's slow down. So they're divided on tactics at the moment as well. I do wonder, because I saw some people sharing sort of giddily this poll earlier today, that they're saying, look, the public is turning significantly in favor of impeachment, but the poll question was based on a total hypothetical, which was, what if the proof emerges that Trump withheld or paused this foreign aid, the military aid to Ukraine, in order to present this quid pro quo to the Ukrainians? And a bunch of people said, oh, yeah, that would be impeachable. But there's no proof of that at this point. I mean, look, there's some suspicious timing. That's fair. Questions need to be asked. But there has not been any linkage between Trump's delay on that aid, which did get paid out, by the way. It did go to Kiev.
Right.
And this conversation
and
he had
Democrats
over the phone.
Remember, a lot of the Democrats thought it was terrible that Trump wanted to intervene with foreign military aid. You know, along the way, it's amazing. It's like they're all free traders now. It's astonishing. Whatever he's for, they're against, unless they can twist it and use it to their benefit.
But let me just ask you quickly, Congressman, because that to me is something that is an open question that deserves additional scrutiny. I'm not asking you to go one way or another as a hypothetical of what this would mean for you. If that type of evidence were to become established and emerge, would that be a game changer in the way a lot of your colleagues think about that,
well,
do you think?
Well, again, I go back to where I stood on the Mueller investigation first. And that is, I had great respect for Bob Mueller when he was head of the FBI. I attended many classified briefings where he presented. I always found him to be straight up and forward. And so I support, okay, he's a good guy, blah, blah, blah. I always defended the investigation because, as an old journalism major, I wanted to get to the facts of the case before I rendered a decision. And so
that's
I really
right.
don't like engaging in hypotheticals. If this happens and this happens, then does that happen? I think we're much better served as a country. Let's get the facts all on the table. Then let's have that discussion. Let's get the lawyers involved to say, what does this mean, high crimes and misdemeanors? How has that been interpreted in the past? And we're talking really, really, really serious things here. When you're talking about impeaching a sitting president of the United States and what rises to that level? What's history tell us? What are the precedents? What have other leaders done? And again, how can you discount what, and I'm not saying you are, but how do you discount what we're now learning about what Joe Biden did as sitting vice president of the United States, involving his own son, bragging about getting the prosecutor taken off the case, apparently, and withholding money? Where's the does that deserve to rise to a level of investigation since he is the leading candidate for president on the Democratic side, at least for now?
I think there's some fair questions to be asked about that in addition to Trump's action, right? They're sort of parallel tracks. My understanding is there's more complexity to the prosecutor situation, but there are, I think, some suspicious things or a few things that are a bit flagrant in terms of conflicts of interest, answers that Biden has given, and I think it's absolutely fair game. Also, Biden's brother, there's a report today in Politico talking to pharmaceutical companies and saying, oh, yeah, Biden's initiative on X, Y, and Z will make a lot of money for you, and invoking his brother's name. There are definitely, I think, fair questions to be raised when it comes to maybe not corruption, but influence peddling and why people connected to a certain politician are making more money. Have at it. I'm with you on going after the facts, and I'm also with you on circumspection, and let's see where this goes. Meanwhile, Congressman, I do want to ask you about a policy question, because you have been working on, and we've talked about it before, some bipartisan legislation on health care. And I know that you are still laboring on that front. I know you're frustrated with Speaker Pelosi in connection to this effort on your part. Tell us where things stand.
Well, we're trying to put a stop to the surprise medical billing situation. It is bipartisan. Democrat chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, the committee I used to chair, we're shoulder to shoulder on this to protect consumers against bills they shouldn't get because they think they're covered by their insurance, only to discover they're not. And one out of five trips to the emergency room now in America is giving that consumer a surprise medical bill. There's a case of a woman who gave birth, son had a problem, ends up in the neonatal intensive care unit. She gets a $50,000 bill, even though her insurance said that hospital was covered by her plan. That hospital had contracted out their neonatal intensive care unit. Now, what parent, what person, what individual American would ever think to ask that question, right? And so that's the kind of bad billing behavior that's going on. And we're trying to put a stop to that, take the consumer out of it, and find a fair system to accommodate the providers and the hospitals and the docs that doesn't stick it to the consumer, which is what's happening now. And it's a big revenue stream. These companies have figured out how to make a lot of money off of surprise medical billing. As they narrow the networks of who's covered, as they contract out their emergency rooms, as private equity firms buy out practices and literally take them out of network, out of your insurance, raise the rates 96%, this happened, and then stick it to the consumer. Insurers need to notify consumers when there's a change in coverage in their policy. They don't do that. I mean, there's a lot here, and we're going after it. And meanwhile, the people are profiting big time off this or spend $30 million in TV ads attacking us. And it's not going to deter us. It's going to make us move forward.
Congressman Greg Walden is a Republican from Oregon, the second district in that state. He is the ranking member on the GOP side of the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is a very significant and powerful committee. Congressman, thank you so much for your time, and we'll be in touch soon, I'm sure.
To be continued. Thanks, Guy.
Indeed. And to be continued will be the Guy Benson Happy Hour right after this.